why did you decide to run in this election?
Well, that's easy. I mean, it's we've been in an unprecedented government response to this pandemic, and it's been massively negative. I mean, the repercussions on Canadians have been the physical and mental health and the economic well-being, as well as the rights and freedoms. I mean, they're being eroded, and so I decided to take a stand for that, and, you know, for my children and their children. And I see this election, it's going to be a turning point in history, is what I feel. And you know, Canadians are going to have to stand up and we're going to find out if they recognize that their freedoms are being systematically taken away, or if they stand for freedom, you know, or whether they decide that their own personal fear or safety is more important. You know, so nobody was stepping forward, you know, to run for this party in this riding, so I took the plunge.
Why the People's Party of Canada, Wayne?
Well, I read everybody's platforms, and the People's Party is one that I could get. I have felt more in tune to. Like it had the had better solutions, I thought, to the problems that the previous governments have created, and they had common sense approaches, and instead of addressing the underlying problems, that these governments have been skirting the issues with all the rhetoric. So it's something that they talk the good talk, but they do nothing about it. And to stand here and not do something is just not in me. I had to do something.
So what are you hearing from your constituents?
Well, a lot of them are fed up with the lockdowns, these masks, all these illegal mandates and everything. They're all fed up with that. They're fed up with the government spending our children's futures into the ground. Like they're fed up with the blatant corruption. You know, they're fed up, like I say, with the politicians are promising to do something just to get elected, and then once they're there, they do nothing about it. Like they just turn their backs. And we've seen that year after year. It doesn't matter which party it's in. And so that's what I'm hearing. Like, and people are getting fed up.
Now, healthcare has been a big one under the microscope in recent months because of the pandemic. New Brunswick, of course, facing a huge shortage of nurses and physicians. So, you know, it is the province that delivers the healthcare. But what would you do to help address this issue?
Well, New Brunswick was facing these shortages with the nurses and doctors long before this so-called pandemic was announced. I mean, in 2019, they were taking the Horizons had plans to close our ERs, the rural ERs. And they had, there were solutions brought forward then. I mean, like better funding for the training and expanding the skills training program to include those that wanted to change careers, instead of providing it just for the ones who have been on EI. So, I mean, the solutions are already on the books. They just need to be, you know, brought back, thus blown off them and fine-tuned and get them in action. You know, and hiring the nurses at all levels would be another thing. Full-time rather than casual part-time is another suggestion. You know, there's been a lot of suggestions like, you know, paying all levels of the government rate rather than minimum wage for home care workers, especially. You know, communities have dealt with these attempted closures, and they've had a lot of input from the doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers on the ground. But it seems that the provincial governments, the health authorities, have a certain agenda and they've already put it into place. But you know, the effect of communities sort of threw a wrench into that for them. So we have the solutions. The politicians just don't want to implement them.
Businesses also have been struggling over the past year and a half because of the pandemic. So what would you do if you're elected to support them?
Well, we have to end the lockdowns. I mean, they just don't work. You know, they had consequences on small businesses. Like many of the small businesses, you know, had to close their doors. You know, and most of them now are just on the brink of bankruptcy. You know, this unprecedented and necessary government response just has been just overwhelming to them. You know, the government overreach has had massive negative repercussions in all Canadians, like, say, their physical and mental health, their economic well-being, as well as their rights and freedoms. And so, once again, the government's creating a problem, and they're offering you a solution. And here's a suggestion. How about we just tell the government to bugger off and let the small business go about the business? they're the ones that create the jobs. Government, you know, government is the problem, and our party plans to get out of the way of them. So more government intervention in the economy is not the answer to our economic challenges. Like, I mean, if for every dollar the government takes in taxes, that's a dollar that the people can't spend, the businesses can't spend on investments and hiring people. So less government, less interference, will equal more business.
Now, in addition to the problems affecting businesses, the pandemic, of course, has impacted millions of Canadians as well. So what are your plans, if elected, to help them and to help the middle-class Canadians who are struggling to get ahead?
Well, first off, they're going to lower taxes and just and abolish the carbon tax, not implement the capital gains tax. So, I mean, all you hear from governments is tax, tax, tax. You know, we should be letting the people keep their money in their own pockets. You know, most people, they know how to spend their money more wisely than corrupt government does. So we would block the foreign takeover. A resource sector, too, would be another thing. That means pipelines. You know, we can supply our own energy needs, but instead we're selling it to the Chinese. I mean, we need to build these pipelines. The energy pipeline would be a great one for creating jobs here and would lower our price of gas. And supply our own energy needs, heating oil, and you know, and we don't want to be dependent on foreign oil. And over there, like Canada had the you know the best, one of the world's best infrastructure for oil and gas. You know, the very very low emissions and stuff like that. But now we're importing it, and we got the boats sitting off the coast spewing out the toxins. They're getting the oil from countries that have no human rights or don't care about the environment. So, I mean, we'd be far better off using our own oil.
And finally, affordable housing has been a huge concern, especially in New Brunswick. Year over year, this province saw the largest increase in average rent prices. So what are your plans to address that and helping those who are having a hard time?
Well, the fundamental problem is the mismatch between supply, you know, the supply of houses and the demand for housing. And Ottawa and the provinces and the municipalities are making it worse with other policies. The mass immigration and zoning restrictions, for one. Overall inflation has become a major problem in every sector of the economy, and you know the consequences of the inflationary monetary policy. You know, the Bank of Canada is printing too much money, and this policy adds to the already overheated conditions in the housing market. But mass immigration is one of the main reasons for the constantly high level of demand for housing. You know, even if a lot more houses were built, supply cannot meet demand. I mean, it goes hand in hand with our immigration policy. I mean, housing is primarily a provincial or local responsibility, like you said, but Ottawa's involvement over the years is sort of contributing to overheating the housing market in different ways. So we plan on reducing the immigration quotas, and this will help reduce demand for the housing and slow down the markets, and just modify the Bank of Canada's inflation target from 2% to zero. That would cool down the inflation in all sectors, including the housing. And we got to stop funding the social housing, you know, which unfairly competes with the private developers. You know, historically, it's been a financial, social, and urban planning disaster in every city where it's become widespread. And we have to work with the provinces to curb the speculation. I mean, there's a lot of money laundering going on with the foreign non-residents buying land and the houses and keeping people out of these houses. So there's a bunch of things that can be done. It's just someone's got to do it.